In the following, we will hear prisoner Peter Collins give a short overview on the hostile environment of the penitentiary system of Canada. Peter elaborates on how this hostile milieu leaves little or no room for prisoners' personal growth.
After the first few years of trying to survive the hostile prison environment, I came to realize it seemed the system wasn't capable, nor was it trying to rehabilitate anyone at all, but was more of a tar pit that trapped vulnerable people whose lives were in some form of crisis. The majority of people, prisoners, that I've met were and are victims of the young offender system, training schools, foster care, children's aid, residential schools. Most people in the penitentiary system come from a socioeconomically disadvantaged family situation. The prison system seems only capable of squashing whatever hope is left in people by relentlessly officious authorities, incorporating petty rules and punishments for real or imagined infractions. Our keepers present us with the smallest of hurdles and then place them under a ceiling so low there is no way for us to surmount the challenge. Then they showcase our failures to the public through the media as examples of why we need more prisons, more guards, stronger laws. Our current Corrections Commissioner, Lucy McClung, during a television interview, turned to the camera and espoused her view that criminals don't think like you or me, perhaps suggesting that people in prison are genetically different from regular and normal people, as if she thinks that prisoners might have a crime gene. It's difficult to fathom what knowledge this is based on when sharing that sort of patronizing nonsense. There are many flaws in CSC's penitentiary system and very few legitimate checks and balances to offset the problems. Time after time, commissions and inquiries into the Canadian penitentiary system have resulted in countless recommendations, which in turn have been ignored or thwarted by the CSC. At the end of the day, in the CSC, there is no accountability for lawless staff or thoughtless policies and improper implementation of rules and legislation governing the Correctional Services of Canada. Abuses of authority by officials are ongoing and sometimes result in unrest, violence, uprisings, and even riots. The incredibly low pay allotted to prisoners is a cause for many black market activities within the prison system. The lack of viable vocational training while in prison contributes to an inability to secure a job and subsequently almost guarantees a return to crime in the community. The complete lack of quality addiction treatment programs is responsible for addicts getting out of prison on parole and failing to make it in the community. It is common practice to revoke a person's parole if they fail a urinalysis test, but no treatment is ever offered to assist, short of the useless and narrow-minded just-say-no approach. These recurring prison themes are reminiscent of an experiment with a spider that was kept and observed in a jar. The spider would try to make a home in the jar and build a perfectly round web, and when the spider had finished, the observer would reach in with a pencil and completely destroy the web. The spider, with almost fathomless determination, would immediately begin to rebuild another perfectly round web, and upon completion it was again destroyed. This cycle was repeated over and over until the spider's efforts became increasingly sporadic and the web was no longer a perfect circle at all. The web began to miss strands everywhere and was lopsided. After all that time, it did not look like a web at all. With this analogy, I try to make clear some of the possible reasons that prisoners give up and fail to live up to the idealized term of rehabilitation. Prison, as I'm sure you have heard, is a dangerous place. There's no doubt about it. Common dangers are the physical threats, the beatings, the stabbings. But there are more insidious threats, such as the emotional strip mining that occurs from the long-term relentless put-downs that come from officials always categorizing the prisoners in accordance with their worst mistakes, referring to the prisoners both verbally and in written reports as an offender, as if this term encompasses who the prisoner is and will ever be. As a society, we have begun to understand what long-term emotional abuse is capable of, and we recognize the effects in children, and we acknowledge it in the emotionally and verbally abusive marriages and relationships. Somehow it appears that our collective ignorance is coddled and maintained in regards to the government systems that have massive control over people whose lives are in crisis. There is a dangerous public apathy to the activities of elected governments and their representative bureaucrats. This apathy is only occasionally breached through the sensationalistic news reporting of the most heinous crimes and the subsequent political cries for tougher jails. Get tough on crime, get tough on prisoners. It's a fail-safe political and media fear-mongering tactic. It seems that the statistics of violent crime being on the decrease is simply not a good platform for re-election or to sell newspapers. Somehow no one seems to be stopping and questioning the social impact of crying wolf. Were you aware that Canadian youth are at least 3 times more likely to be placed in a prison setting than adults for the same infraction? This is in large part thanks to the incessant media drumming of panic and our Young Offender Act. I bring this up simply to point out that once our children are in these types of institutions, they are rarely able to free themselves from the state's grip. And still we hear the reports of luxurious penitentiaries, but when I look at the penitentiary system I know, with the high rates of addictions and the violence, suicide, and diseases, I have to wonder what their agenda is. To hear them speak, it's amazing we don't see lines of people begging to get into the Canadian prison system. A friend once said to me that prison should be uncomfortable, even painful, and the reasons for this is that we, prisoners, are being punished, suffering being the price of settling the social debt. I have no disagreement with this. I only hope that whatever the form of repayment suffering comes in, that as a society we recognize that punishment without room to learn and grow as people, coupled with no genuine opportunities to atone for our crimes, will result in a very unhealthy response to the punishment, no matter the responsibility for the crime, and ill feelings from both the victims and the offenders. As prisoners, we are banished from society, and everything is stripped away. We enter the prison setting, freedom, clothes, dignity, and the ability to have any meaningful input into our life's direction is all pretty much gone. Prison officials impose the conditions of incarcerated life. Every aspect of life is managed by someone else. You are forced to work at menial, make-work jobs that have absolutely no potential to provide viable employment skills or work ethics. You are constantly reminded of your failures and general uselessness as a member of our human family. You're given programs, in theory, to help you develop your cognitive abilities or control your anger problems, drug problems, or whatever the prison officials and courts have deemed are contributing factors to your involvement in crime. These programs are lauded as a correctional panacea. In fact, they are very short and often delivered by staff who could seemingly use a few effective programs of their own. The average program length is 30 days over a period of 6 weeks, and this is the end of the program's intervention. Given that programs, in theory, endeavor to make fundamental changes in the prisoner's life, 15 days out of a 5-year sentence seems woefully lacking. This shortcoming is magnified when one considers the thousands of people doing some of Canada's longer sentences, which span decades. 15 days to effect the changes society wants and really needs to see, and this is all they get. It is both ineffective and ridiculous to the extreme. So here we sit, we prisoners, no room for personal growth. Any innovative variation in the prison regimen is quickly stymied under the boot of authority, and we see the specter of self-improvement and normal human growth suffocate under this highly structured human warehousing system. Food and lodging are free, work and programs are imposed, any dissent is crushed. Is it any small wonder that there is violence and drug abuse problems in the prison system? There is so much illiteracy in the prison setting that it creates incredibly difficult problems for some prisoners. How does one understand what is going on when they are functionally illiterate? And when or if they feel they are being mistreated, it is doubly difficult to express their concerns in a fashion that may be understood or taken seriously by the authorities. In a system that thrives on complex documents, if you can't decipher the text and your life, your freedom hangs in the balance, what will happen to you? How do you defend yourself? to assure the public and the politicians that there's fair treatment in the prisons, the CSC developed a multi-tier grievance system. This complex redress system is an ineffective mechanism designed to present the facade of fair play. It is incredibly useless and challenges even the most articulate mind. As a general rule of thumb, the CSC will not respond to the points of the grievance and spend most of their time and resources explaining, in sidelong doublespeak, why they are not wrong. They are, after all, apparently never wrong. The CSC investigate themselves throughout this four-stage grievance system. It takes upward of 2 years to get a final answer. There's almost, without variation, never an intelligible or legitimate answer or response to the problem. If you are capable, you can then bring the complaint to the federal court for judicial review. But this is even more complex than the grievance system and requires money, which at a couple of dollars a day we simply do not possess. At any rate, I've digressed into a global look at an incredibly unhealthy correctional system. I only wanted to share some background into this penitentiary system.
We've been listening to prisoner Peter Collins, who has delivered to us a summary on the hostile environment in penitentiaries and how this milieu affects prisoners.